The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today. Ever been in a pit? Are you in one now? Don't think that God has forgotten you for one second.
I want to make the enemy sorry he messed with me.
Yeah.
I want to make it turn back on him so that he thinks, you know, that was the wrong one to do that with. Don't you?
That's right.
Don't you want to have a little piece of him?
Absolutely.
Don't you want a little bit of that?
Beth Moore joins James and Betty to provide help to get you out of that pit next.
Oh, my goodness. We've got a room full of beautiful women and a few brave men. I'm James Robinson. My wife, Betty, and I welcome you to Life Today. This is a very special programming this week with Beth Moore and Get Out of That Pit. Straight talk about God's deliverance. And she taught this here. It's a part of a series that we're actually going to make available to you along with the book. But we're going to spend these days, this week, talking about this subject of getting out of the pit of defeat and despair. I think, Betty, that this could prove to be the most high-impact, most important programming we've ever done, because all of us, I mean, the guy sitting right here, host along with his co-host, we lived in pits. And by the way, she puts down here right over her title of her name, from a former pit dweller. Get out of the pit. I'm a former pit dweller. We've all been there in that pit of despair and depression and hopelessness and defeat. And we want to see people get out. And by the way, no experts up here either. We're still learning because we can fall in as quickly as you can, and we can even foolishly, deliberately jump in. So we're going to talk about all these things. There is nobody up here going to be condemning. I almost feel guilty pointing my finger. I don't want to point my finger at anybody, but right here. We're not preaching at you. We're talking with you because we love you.
Well, Betty, and we're not comparing sizes of pits either, because a pit's a pit, regardless of what size it is.
You know, Jesus said when the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. And we get to discussing that we got a bigger ditch, and we got stained glass windows in our ditch, and we got a pipe organ in our ditch. It doesn't matter how you decorate it. If it's a ditch, it's a ditch. I mean, you can call it church. You can call it a club. You can call it a membership. You can call it a lodge. Doesn't matter. It's a pit, and it is the pits. Would you welcome the author of this book and our good friend and the one who teaches Wednesdays with Beth, would you welcome Beth Moore to Life Today? Beth, good to see you.
To be here. You know, I couldn't help but think as you guys were talking that this is the very reason that God has made us such good friends. I thought they could have written this book all by themselves from two former pit dwellers.
Definitely could give you some material for it.
Pit dwellers.
Yeah, we can add to it. We thought it was a book about us.
I'm so happy.
We can smile and laugh because we have come to understand that there is someone looking down in the pit, inclining his ear, and literally, before we even ask for it, extending his hand.
That's right.
With a broken heart of love and no condemnation, who wants to lift us out of the pit and put our feet on a solid rock.
Right.
We know that truth. And because we've experienced, we have at least tasted it, and we have so often walked in it, we want it for others. And I'm convinced that's the reason you wrote the book.
Well, it absolutely is. It just burns like a fire in me. It's one of those things that keeps me awake at night. I want people to live in the fullness that God has for them. You know, I want you to know something. I loved what you said a moment ago, that we're not saying we'll never be back in one, because you can never be certain of that as long as we're drawing breath on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. But this, I'll tell you, that one of the things that God used to keep me out of a pit at the time I wrote it, it would have just been a pit of despair. I really came to a place of feeling like I couldn't take a certain thing happening again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you seem to deal with a long-term relational issue that just keeps giving you some serious, serious pain. And I thought, you know, I was dealing with some health problems. I was having to give up something dear to me. And all those things are behind me now. But at that moment, I thought, you know, you could step back in that hole right now. You could go back in a hole of despair and just feel complete darkness in your soul if you want to. And, you know, I knew I did not. And so part of the way that I was able to really key into God's word and stay out of that hole was to write that book. And I was so appreciative to the Lord because He let me feel it again, what the temptation and the pull is to just go, you know, for a while, I'm just too tired to fight it.
Yeah.
And we're not. We're not. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. But for that moment, I think everybody can relate to that. You just think, you know, I'm going to lay down for a while on this.
And you know, when you do, or if you get knocked down, which would be a way of being thrown in the pit, if any circumstance or any bad choice puts us back temporarily,
yes,
there just seems to be a chorus resounding in our soul and in our spirit saying, see there, you can't make it. You can't do it.
Constantly.
There is the accusation, the accuser of the brethren. I mean, focusing on us, condemning us until you almost find yourself agreeing with him. And it's so easy to settle in, to sink in, and then the pit becomes like a pit of miry clay.
It does.
Well, the wonderful thing for me was to, I had lived in the pit for so long, not realizing I was in a pit, but to realize one day through God and His love and through His word and friends that cared about me, that I could get out. There is a way out. Because I lived thinking, well, I'm just going to hang in there.
Exactly.
You know?
And this
I'm
is
just going to endure.
That's right. To hear the echo of the Holy Spirit going, you don't have to live like this. You do not have to live like this. That feeling of just being stuck. And when people have asked me, how would I know that I was in a pit? Well, do you feel like, you know, I'm just in a situation I'm never going to get any relief from. This is it. I just feel stuck. And then that sense of, if you think about the metaphor of a miry pit, that feeling that I can't stand up in here. I keep sinking down and sinking down, as the word said about Jeremiah when he was lowered into the cistern. I just keep sinking. That feeling that you never can get up on your feet and take your stand against the enemy, like Ephesians 6 says. And then there's also that sense of losing our vision. Again, with that metaphor of just being surrounded by the walls of a hole, that I'm not up where I can see. I've lost my creativity. I've lost my sense of vision of what God has for me. Any one of those things indicates to us, I'm in a hole here.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us has to stay there. Not a single one of us. It is God's will for every single one of us to be delivered from the pit.
Well, I think it's so important that people understand that to experience those things is normal. In other words, the struggle,
right,
the battle, the intent of the enemy are people who are unkind. They intend to put us down, pull us down. And there are, in the realm of darkness, a spiritual kingdom, forces focusing their energy and their fury on pulling us down, shoving
right.
us down, keeping us down. One of the things that I have found, Beth, that I see a lot of people find some relief or maybe a true experience of deliverance from some pit of despair or some recurring defeat. And then all of a sudden they find themselves facing the fury of this enemy again. And I think many people interpret freedom to be free from any more battles, any more temptation, any more struggles. And I think that becomes a point of discouragement because they've been ill-informed. We're actually freed to fight effectively in the fullness and power of the armor of God and His strength. And really, I honestly believe, and I'd like for us to talk about this a little bit extensively, I think with connectedness with other believers. I think we need each other more than we ever imagined, and I think the enemy knows that, and he keeps us apart.
Oh, I think that is absolutely clear in Scriptural. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 tells us, let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day is drawing near. And in a lot of translations, it's that big D, meaning the return of Christ, that there will be greater and greater assault against the body of Christ the closer we get to the return of His kingdom on earth.
It's intensifying.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
I think
right.
you We've see in the physical another. Realm, even in the forms of terrorism and evil acts that seem to be almost unexplainable, unimaginable, the things that people are doing. How could anybody think that
That's
way?
Right.
How could children blow themselves up? What kind of a mind is this? This is the fury of the enemy manifesting clearly, and I believe the only way we're going to be able to deal with it is to have the power of Almighty God manifested more clearly than ever.
Gotta have
and
it.
I think that's why we're sitting here.
That's exactly right. You know, we have been called to be valiant, victorious warriors. Just here recently, I was teaching my Bible study back home out of the Proverbs 31 woman, and I discovered when I did a little bit of Hebrew study on the word, the virtuous woman, a virtuous woman who can find, that it's the same word that is used back in Judges for Gideon when it calls him a mighty man of valor. And I thought, why didn't they translate it that way? Why is it a woman has to just be virtuous, but a man gets to be a mighty man of valor? You know, somebody tell, you know,
right.
anybody hear what I'm saying
yeah,
to him?
Sure.
I thought, no, It's calling the virtuous woman to be a woman of valor. It's exactly the same Hebrew word. We've been called to be warriors, princess warriors, and, prince warriors.
I think that's why people were seated out here this morning 3 and 4 hours before this studio opened, out there on the curb, on the sidewalk, because they said, I think we have met a woman of virtue that is in valor in the battle.
Scott,
I think they see that. They want to get in here and get in it.
Well, to realize that we have a right to fight.
That's right.
You know, we don't have to lay down.
Aren't you too sweet to fight? Aren't you sweet?
Not anymore. I'm learning. You know, it's just, well, it's like our little grandson when he was younger. He used to come up to James. Every time we'd go to see him, he'd say, Papa, you want a piece of me? You know, he'd just get right up. I thought, well, that's the same way we need to approach the enemy. Plant our feet and say, do you want a piece of God?
That's exactly right.
Because that's what you're going to get.
And you know, I've said this before, and I've said it on this program, but it is just a part of my testimony. There's a part of our story that we never get tired of retelling, and one of mine is, I want to make the enemy sorry he messed with me.
Yeah.
I want to make it turn back on him so that he thinks, you know, that was the wrong one to do that.
That's
don't
right.
you?
That's right.
Don't you want to have a little piece of
Absolutely.
Him?
Absolutely.
Don't you want a little bit of that?
I just re-underlined that this morning.
Really,
I did. I'd already underlined it once, but I went back in here, and I dog-eared it again. Let me see if I can find it. I got so many dog ears. here's something you said right here. When you slipped into that pit, you went to a place you never intended. Yeah. Now you're going to a place Satan never intended. Don't stop until the enemy is sorry he ever messed with you. I just re-underlined that and put that in yellow.
I got chill bumps all over me.
Here's what your daughter said right here in the page before. And by the way, I mean, we can put out a lot. Now, we're not anywhere close to what Oprah can afford. Now, Oprah, if you'd like to extend your influence and pay for our program to be on an hour, well, Beth and Betty and I'll sit here and we'll teach for an hour. We don't have the length of time. That's the reason I'm holding up the book. We want to get you in here to get the truth of God in here so you can get out of there. You don't have to live there. You don't have to live down. You can live in a higher plane. Let me tell you something God has really put in my heart as I knew we were going to do this. Beth, we don't have any idea where we can go.
That's absolutely
And we're not talking about
true.
Heaven. We're talking about planes of glory. You know, from shades of night to planes of light. We can walk on a plane that's higher than anything we ever... You know what W.A. Crystal said to me, the great pastor of First Baptist Church? He said, I've talked to missionaries that have experienced a level of life I don't think we really adequately explain
I could
to
not
our
agree
people.
With that.
I believe it. Listen
agree.
To what your daughter said on page before. I want
I
you to get this
it.
Book. I want you to get it. I want you to read it.
I'm going
to
get it.
I want
it.
You to absorb it. Beth's going to read it again. Let me read it to you. Here's what your sweet daughter said to you. She's so excited. You said, hit me with what you got. Mother, did you know that God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy? Her newfound passion had obviously led her to stumble on the 23rd Psalm. And get this, she bubbled. He forces my enemy to watch as he anoints my head with oil. He forces the enemy to watch. And then you added, beloved, God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Beth, I want God's people. I want James Robinson. I want James Robinson to go to a level beyond anything I ever dreamed possible. And in that level, in that place, I want to help lift people up out of the pit of defeat and despair. I'm so tired of seeing people sick, beat down, trampled down. Do you know when Jesus looked out and he saw the sheep? I mean, I don't think this was necessarily lost sheep. It was just sheep wandering, floundering, stumbling, held captive, the beasts of the field after him. And it broke his heart. I believe his heart is broken today, and he wants to see his family get well. Beth, as long as I'm breathing, and I know you feel this way, and I know my wife does, I frankly believe our whole staff feels that way. I want to see the family of God get healthy. I want to see them get out of the pit. I want to see us be so strong and such an inspiration, such a light set up on a lampstand that people are drawn to the light of His glory and they too get out of the pit. That's the longing of my heart.
Me too. You know, when you were saying a little while ago that We long for a place where we never dreamed we could live. I want you to know something. I think all three of us can say this right now, that that is even already, to some degree, I don't think
That's
any
right.
of
never
the three
imagined.
Of us imagine mm-hmm. that we would ever have experienced God the way we have and seen Him take mm-hmm. action on planet Earth in real life, flesh and blood that was frail and broken. And I'm not going to speak for them, but you'll never meet anybody that is more messed up than I've been. And yet, I have no idea what could be ahead. This I know. It's not good enough for me, for us to be here, for me to be here, and for my husband and I to be living out in the light and seeing some glory come to God through victory over terrible defeat in our past and seeing some damage come to the kingdom of darkness. I want it for everybody.
Yes, I do.
I want it for every believer. It's unnecessary for us to be living in the kind of bondage we are. A moment ago when I could have absolutely jumped out of my skin was when you said, I want this week of programming to be so powerful that people could literally, and I'm paraphrasing it in my own words, be delivered from just watching and participating. And that is what I want as well. That can happen, where we can get to a place where we are dissatisfied from that point on with ever staying there another moment. Betty, you said it so well. If we went in early enough, could be that we were born to parents that were living in a pit. It could, and it's not to put any kind of shame on anyone else, and certainly not to put any blame on anyone else. It just means that you can take up residency so early. I was abused, sexually abused, very early in my life. I have no memory of the first time, if that tells you anything. Mm. So you can imagine I grew up in the pit. You do that long enough. You start early enough and stay long enough, and it starts to feel like home. Mm-hmm. And you don't know there's anything different until somebody wearing a cloak of flesh and blood says, I was once this. Mm-hmm. And now I'm this, and the only thing that changed was Jesus Christ yes. coming and taking authority yes. over my life and bidding me to freedom. I tell you, it just doesn't get better than that.
You know, I look out at all these beautiful ladies, and I think that maybe some of them would say, and those of you watching home might say, well, I never was abused like that, and I didn't. James, I didn't have a, you know, dysfunctional home like you did, and I'm not the product of rape, which I am. I'm the product of a 40-year-old woman being raped by the son of the man she was caring for as a practical nurse, and this unexpected pregnancy. So you may say, well, I didn't have any of that, but I'm going to tell you something. From whatever avenue, place, location, person, occasion, your hurt came, your pain came, your despair came. It doesn't matter where it came from. It's huge to you.
That's right.
It's still got that grip, the tentacle grip. It's got that vice grip, and it's very, very real. And God is greater than that. And He wants to deliver you, and He can. He's able to. And we're not talking about delivering you to some religion where you could grow up in that religion to think you're better than everybody else and ultimately hate everybody that's not as smart as you think you are. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. We're talking about relationship with a living God. We're talking about giving out of a pit and being full of love and joy. He came that we might have life. We're
that's
talking
good.
About real life, not an existence. Mm-hmm. Beth, I'm experiencing, as you said a moment ago, a level of life that coming out of poverty and out of pain and a lot of hurt. And boy, I had a lot of hurt. Yes. Hurt that I tried to forget, and it hurt me, it damaged me. Let me tell you something. I'm living a life that's so awesome, so wonderful, that sometimes when I talk about it, and I tell you how great it is, I feel bad because so many others can't say that. But you got to know this. The greatness of the life that I'm experiencing, this out-of-the-pit life that Beth talks about, is so great. I can't stand to live it without you.
Yes.
I can't.
Yes.
Paul said, I say the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears witness
right.
that I say the truth in Christ. I could wish myself accursed from Christ. I'd be separated from this life if you could just know it. And he was saying that of the Jews and of his own heritage, his own kinsmen, his own family.
Right.
And I say that to you. And Beth, that's the reason I ask you to come and let's spend these days talking about something that we have talked about. And that we would be able to help people literally lock into that hope and that they could know that it's possible for me. And I need to say this to you. Now, we're going to sort of, you know, give you what I've called sometimes a spiritual life library. I mean, you can go to the bookstores. You can get this book. I'd like to send it to you. And then Betty, you know, she didn't have the abuse. She didn't have some of the extremes that you and I had, and yet this beautiful, sweet girl. Now, over here, I'm going to tell you, this is a feisty little gal. I mean, this little gal, boy, you know, she's tough. And yet, she didn't have some of the kind of things Beth and I had. And yet, she was scared, and she was fearful. And she didn't feel good about herself, no matter how she looked. She never believed she was pretty or smart. She wrote the book, Free to Be Me. And this is her story. A lot of you would identify more, really, with Betty than they would with me and you, who seem to have had such extremes. And then I wrote a book, a Bible study, that's called The Life You're Fighting For. And it is a fight. And these books have been a blessing. I want to send them all to you. I want to load you up. I want to send you Who Will You Trust, that Beth did, the teaching series of which Get Out of That Pit's a part of. We'd love to send you those wonderful teachings, too, on the audio and the video series, DVD or CD. We're simply asking you to pray about making a gift of $89 or more. Pray about that. You say, why are you offering us that? I want to help you renew your mind. I want to help you be whole and healed and free. And that telephone number there is a prayer line. You say, somebody agree with me. I'm not going to live the rest of my life in this pit. I don't want to live another moment in it. And someone will pray with you and say, I'd like to have that material. We're going to ask you to invest in helping others. We're going to ask you to help us continue to share life with others. We're going to ask you to help us do that during the summer months when it's tough on ministries like ours during the summer. People are vacationing, traveling, and we depend on their faithfulness. But I'm going to ask our viewers to just help us in the overall ministry. You know what we're doing. But Beth, I'm telling you, the reason I want people to get this material is not to have something you wrote or Betty's story or some Bible studies that I wrote. Couldn't care less about getting something I had anything to do with to somebody. I want them to have what God's got everything to do with, and He's got everything to do with everything positive in me, everything positive in you, and everything positive in Betty. And I know your husband, Keith, and everything positive in him. And he's watching us back here right now, and he's praying for us. But every good thing in him is the Lord, and it is working impossible situations into something beautiful. I want it for everybody.
I want it too. That just is my lifeblood. You know, he said something I was thinking about this morning that I talk about in the book. We were talking about different personalities in our families, and we were throwing around words that may be familiar to those that have read books on it, using the words sanguine and phlegmatic and melancholy and choleric, those kinds of terms for personalities. And he suddenly got a downcast look on his face. You know, Keith and I have so much. Not only have we been thrown into pits as small children, we also just slipped and jumped into pits of our own through just heinous sin, strongholds of terrible sin and bondage. And he all of a sudden got this downcast look on his face. And he looked over at me and went, I wonder what my personality is. And, you know, he's right. I've never been able. I've tried to do profiles for him and thought, you know, I don't know what he is. God's made him such a mix of things. He just, because of all the
no
pain.
No way to and, track you, Keith.
And it's the truth, all the pain and all the healing. I know he's baby one. Amen. But God caused something to spring to my lips that I know came from the Father himself, because I wasn't smart enough nor quick enough to say it. And it came immediately, because he and I both have so many regrets. I leaned over to him. I said, honey, let me tell you something. You are so much neater a person healed than you would have been just plain well. And, you know, I need someone
That's really right.
We could have some of the experience of seeing a God that I no longer just believe with all my heart is real. I know He is. I know Betty does, too, and I know James does, and Keith does. I don't sit around and wonder if Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I know He is. I have experienced His miracles. I am a miracle. I get asked all the time as an evangelical, do you believe that God still performs miracles? Are you stinking kidding me? Yes. I am a miracle. And you guys are miracles. And you know, we just keep lamenting everything we've been through. And you know, we got to deal with that.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter what the name of your pit is. You say, oh, I bet I've got one that God can't handle. He can handle any name give Him. You show Him. He knows already. He created you, and He's reaching down saying, grab hold. I got you. So grab hold and allow God to carry you out.
He's the name above every name. Every tongue shall confess. Every knee will bow. All principalities, all powers subject to His power. He is the power. And He loves you. He wrote you a whole book of letters. He sent some people along like Beth and Betty and James to be an illustration of the power and truth of those wonderful letters in the Word. And to say, you know what? He notices. we notice, viewers who watch this program, and we're so glad you do, you notice others. One of the things you're going to find in living a life of meaning is you look beyond your world and you touch someone else's. I don't know that I could say it any more effectively. It's one thing to pray and have prayers answered, but there's incredible joy in being the answer to prayer in somebody's behalf. You can be that. I want you to call right now and ask for these materials we've talked about. We're asking you to consider prayerfully making a gift to help us keep sharing the program like we do. Wednesdays with Beth, Life Today every day, helping people with our feeding program, drilling water wells, giving homes, giving help to people who just need to see that there is a God in action, not just in discussion. Would you pray about making a gift of $49 and ask for the printed material? Or if you want the books, along with the DVD and the CDs, prayerfully consider a gift of $89. That'll help us share the love of God in areas all over the world, as well as this outreach to you and your friends. Thank you for making that call. Thanks for watching. With all our heart, we want to see you out of the pit. That's God's will for you. Thanks for making the call. Thanks for your prayers and your help.
Ever been in a pit? Are you in one now? Is somebody you love living there? Don't think for one second God wants you there. In her book, Get Out of That Pit, Beth Moore shares her experience as a former pit dweller who had to be delivered from a life of bone-chilling darkness. Filled with hope and real answers, Get Out of That Pit provides the path to get your life back on track. James and Beth's passion is to see you break through the chains and enjoy the life God intended for you. And so with your gift today of $49 or more to make the outreaches of life possible around the world, we would like to send you Beth's book, along with James' book, The Life You're Fighting For, and Betty Robison's Free to Be Me. For a gift of $89 or more, in addition to receiving these life-changing books, you will also receive Beth's powerful audio and video series, Who Will You Trust? In this five-part series, including her teaching on Get Out of That Pit, Beth teaches you how to move faith from your head to your heart.
Your God loves you. It's not been too long. It's not been too deep. And your God has made sure that you have heard this message today, because your deliverer has come today.
This is the last day, so please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do encourage every one of you, wherever you are, anywhere in the world, it doesn't matter. I encourage you to get out of that pit and get the book, Get Out of That Pit. And the other materials, they're to help you renew the mind. You want to say thanks to Beth Moore for being with us? She'll be back tomorrow. Beth,
thank you so much.
Bless you. See you tomorrow. Tell your friends to watch Life Today, every day.
Get one of the hottest tickets in the Metroplex. Come be a part of the Life Today studio audience. You'll be inspired and entertained. Call or email to reserve your tickets today.
And the bottom line is, it is an effort to be spiritual without God.
Next week, Ravi Zacharias helps us rediscover God's truth. Connect with Life Today through your favorite social media sites. Just go to lifetoday.org and click Connect. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.